John F. Kennedy Library, President's Office Files, Presidential Recordings Collection, Meeting Recording Number 33.1, a recording of the 507th meeting of the National Security Council, held on October 22, 1962 at 3 p.m. The meeting has already been in progress for some time when the recording begins. The recording is 44 minutes and 14 seconds in length. 30 seconds of this tape have been excised for reasons of national security. The four excisions are indicated. For additional information, see recording log number 33.1.
Failed to react in the case of Cuba. In addition, it would seem if we had failed to react, the effect in Latin America, the feeling that perhaps the balance of power really had shifted, and that it's just a question of time, there was a feeling of inevitability that the Soviet advance would have been marked. So we decided to do something, and we start here. Now it may end up with our having to invade Cuba, if you're in a position to do so. Obviously, he's going to, Khrushchev will not take this without a response, maybe in Berlin or maybe here. But we have done, I think, the choices being one long second best, I think we've done the best thing, at least as far as you can tell in advance. We haven't settled two or three matters which are going to have to be settled in the coming days. What are we going to do when one of our U-2s is shot down, which we have to anticipate maybe in the next few days over a SAM site? What will be our response then, number one? And secondly, what will we do if the work continues on these sites, which we assume it will? I think we've got to begin to meet tomorrow and begin to consider what action we take in those cases. Do we intensify the blockade, or do we begin, if they shoot down one of our U-2s, do we attack that SAM site, or all the SAM sites? And these are matters, I think, you ought to be all thinking about the next 24 hours and meeting tomorrow and begin to decide exactly what we will do in that case. But I think that, as I said, for the press, those who abroad and others, those arguments about doing nothing, I think the reasons why we had to do something quite clear. I don't think there was anybody ever who didn't think we should respond. Varieties of different actions, at least I've attempted to indicate why we took the course we did, even though, as I've said from the beginning, the idea of a quick strike was very tempting, and I really didn't give up on that until yesterday morning. Finally, after talking to General Sweeney and after talking to others, it looked like we would have all the difficulties of Pearl Harbor and not have finished the job. The job can only be finished by an invasion. As I understand, we are moving those forces which will be necessary in case at the end of the week, it looks like that's the only course left to us. Even though I recognize that we have to do the air strikes with all the disadvantages we'll now have. And I want to say very clearly to the military that I recognize we increase your problems. Any military action we have to take in Cuba by the warning we're now given. But I did want you to know that the reason we followed the course we have is because while we would have been able to take out more planes and missiles without warning, as we are involved all around the world and not just in Cuba, I think the shock to the alliance might have been nearly fatal, particularly as it would have excused very drastic action by Khrushchev. But we still have some pretty basic decisions to make about the 2 points I just said. First, what happens when surveillance ceases, and second, what happens when work in the base goes on.
President, I just had one sentence on that, if any of our colleagues think that this is, in a sense, a weak action, I think we can be quite sure that in a number of hours we'll have a flaming crisis on our hands. This is going to move very far, and possibly very fast.
President, do you want to go in at all into the questions that are bound to arise and what the answers are to them? For instance, why we didn't put a blockade in a month ago, why we just detected it a week ago, why we didn't why we didn't take more forceful action.
Oh, yeah, we get some of these questions, which, as I say,
was nothing there. We rechecked again. There was nothing there. August 29th, we began to be more began to be suspicious in general as the ships kept coming in. The big crates there, and sharply suspicious when we on the 28th of September, when we saw the IL-28 crates. We then began to get a few reports, collateral reports about this particular site. We were precluded from flying over that particular site by cloud cover for a long period of time there, days on end. That led to the comments, correct? Then, when we finally the weather broke, it was a Sunday. We got a flight over it, and we then saw the beginnings of the deployment there. And you can show the photographs from Sunday Monday, the dramatic progress in only 24 hours.
I want to have those available for
the ship. I think we have to be careful with this point, because there were some refugee reports. I think this is what Keating has been basing his position on. I wouldn't be too categorical if we had no information, because as a matter of fact, there were some 15, I think, various refugee reports that circulated around. But they're indicative that something was going on, but we had no surveillance. I think from August the 29th, which was 14th of October, it gave us positive information. Therefore, we were dealing during that period with conjecture and assumption rather than hard intelligence. But I would be a little bit careful on this, because I think this Keating, for instance, who has made quite a number of speeches on this, has received some refugee information through refugees on which he has based his claim that he knew there were missiles there.
Mr. President, of course we get the refugees' reports which frequently prove inaccurate. I think the second point, which is extremely important, is the fact that you couldn't really tell, even if we had photography. It would be difficult on these non-permanent sites to tell up until a week or 10 days ago, even if we had flight across there. So I don't think we have to say that it goes back until September, the middle of September, or early September, or the end of August. Even if we'd had a flight in the middle of September, the chances are we wouldn't have been able to tell up until the last 10 days or 2 weeks, which I think is
And it is, of course, I don't think any Soviet expert assumed that they would engage in this radical alteration view of the fact that no Eastern European satellite, for example, has such weapons on their territory. This would be the first time the Soviet Union has moved these weapons outside their own control.
The other thing, of course, is that the Russian ambassador has told officials within government that continuously up until just last week, as well as Rubiko's conversation with you, that this was not being done.
It should be understood that the media, and then of course we issued our statements on September 4th and 13th and secured OAS approval, stepped up surveillance. It should be understood that the medium range missiles are a field type, quickly moved in and out. Intermediate range missile sites are excavation, so they're going to be relevant. Now, the second question I've already referred to, why not take stronger action now, such as an airstrike or an invasion?
President, I think it may be quite important not to get into too much public discussion of the difficulty of hitting these targets. I was out of the room when we discussed this, but I don't think we want to. We may be doing this in a few days.
All right,
we
can't. The explanation
that we can't do it is not the perfect prelude to that.
No,
I think the Pearl Harbor thing.
And what we say about it doesn't want to tie our hands to the future at this time. I think we say we have obligations to bring such threats to the OAS, to the United Nations. Be sure that our own people fully understand and give the other side a chance to rethink what it's doing and take another course.
The position of the government is to deal with this matter firmly and resolutely with the minimum necessary force to make the result.
But it is a fact that even with the airstrike, we couldn't perhaps get all the missiles that are in sight.
That's entirely true, Mr. President, but I don't think the next few days are the time to talk about it.
I know, but I want everybody to understand it, man. Yes. If you don't mind. The fact of the matter is, there are missiles on the island which are not in sight. Now, Pearl Harbor. troops which are in, which we sent to Turkey and Italy, which the Soviet put up with, which are operational and have been for 2 or 3 years. My understanding is the State Department is preparing a brief on that matter.
We have prepared that, Mr. President.
Can we get that? In fact, take a look at it.
Factual. We've prepared the factual.
Statement putting all the Berlin off the left of the election.
authorized free plebiscites by people to determine whether they wanted us there. If the Cuban people had that same opportunity, that would produce a different situation. B, Gromyko made it very clear last week, as they have in all their conversations, they're getting ready to move on Berlin anyway. This does not increase their determination to move on Berlin, no matter what we do, because he said they're going to do it anyway. This may give them a different way of doing it, but they're going to do it anyway. C, our quarantine will not keep out food or medicine and need not endanger war. In other words, we're not stopping any good with the shipment of offensive weapons. Even today, the Soviets inspect our, stop our convoys going into Berlin. People get out, don't they? They don't inspect the trucks.
No, sir, the people do not get out, and this issue of inspection is a complicated one. They have ample means of surveillance, but inspection is not the word we want to use.
What's surveillance? What does that mean?
Well, they have a checkpoint. They watch the convoy. They know that there are no offensive weapons in Berlin, and they have plenty of ways of knowing that.
Right. Sometimes the people get out, sometimes they don't, and they do let these people look in through the tailgate of the trucks.
They do let them. Yeah, well,
but the central point here is that we are in Berlin by right as well as by the acknowledgement and agreement of the Soviet Union. They are bringing these things into Cuba contrary to the real time. Just all the difference in the world.
Yeah, so I think we want to make, what we're trying to do is make a distinction between our action and the Soviet blockade of Berlin or the blockade of 47-48. The degree of surveillance and inspection which they have over the movement of troops and personnel, and the fact that no weapons, strategic weapons have been placed in Berlin, and the fact that we're permitting goods to move into Cuba at this point, food and all the rest, this is not a blockade in that sense. It's merely an attempt to prevent the shipment of weapons. Khrushchev, conclusion, his purpose apparently was to force us into, add to his strategic nuclear power, force us into a choice of initiating an attack on Cuba, which would free his hands, etc., and or appearing to be an irresolute ally. So time we've chosen to begin on the road. I want to go back to saying I think the talk, which at any time an air attack, I want to restate that now, and that is a matter which I don't think we ought to discuss under any conditions. They have to do it. In any case, we don't look like we were considering it. So I think we ought to just scratch that from all our records and conversations and not ever indicate that that was a course of action open to us. I can't say that strongly enough. We don't want to ever have it around that this was one of the alternatives that we considered this week. It's going to be very difficult to keep it quiet, but I think we ought to, because inhibit us in the future, and in addition, it will become a propaganda matter. This is a matter seriously considered by the government. So let's not consider that as one of the alternatives in any discussion.
Anybody else have any thoughts about this? One or two more questions, President.
I think probably the reason when you bring up why you didn't have an attack or why you didn't have an airstrike. Say that it was just not considered on the basis of the fact that we could have the Pearl Harbor kind of operation rather than go into all the details of why it
was not
be
done because, rather than considered.
Yeah, rather than go into all the details, the military reasons that we did.
All right, well, I think that's fair enough.
Mr. President, I should call attention to the fact we're starting moves now, which are overt and will be seen and reported on and commented on.
Of course, not everyone.
So that movement of armor, for example, the East Coast. We'll start moving some shipping. We'll start loading some Marines on the West Coast. And you'll be faced with the question, are you preparing to invade? We'll be faced with that question. Okay. I think we need guidance on that point.
So how'd you suggest saying on that?
Mr. President, I would suggest that we urge the press not to come back to each one of these things. We say that obviously the precautionary moves are going to be taken, that it does not serve the public interest to call attention to each one of them. We are in a very critical situation, and that we should not be forced to relate each of these moves. Naturally, with tensions as high as they are at the present time, the president's going to be redisposing forces, but it's not in the public interest to try to explain each one of the moves.
One slightly supplementary point, we don't want to look as if we got scared off from anything. There is no current
plan,
order for invasion. I think it's very important.
Well, the president's speech talks about what he's going to do. Therefore, there are a lot of things that you could do that he's not doing at the moment. I wouldn't, at this moment, deny any particular line of action to kind of
keep it ambiguous.
Well, in other words, though, I think we shouldn't have
business have plans for any contingency.
Well, I think in that, I think we...
By plans, I think we need it in any more current.
I think it would say...
Not in military sense, but in the...
If we were invading Cuba, the president would have...
The president's policy is, goes only as far as his speech.
Yeah.
I think it's one way of saying it. They'll work it out, but he has to order it.
Rather than we're saying plans, we have an intention.
What did we do in the Korean War about the movement of troops? What kind of a limitation was placed on the, what sort of censorship, if any? Does anybody remember that?
Well, it was far back. Why was in Korea, so I'm not sure.
No, but in the United States.
In the United States, no troop movements were reported. The two or three newspapers who did, because they reported some ships leaving, they were severely censored.
Well, now we're at war there. I think I'd like to have the press people, Arthur Sylvester, etc., Pierre, let's find out what they did in the first days of Korea in regard to putting controls on the press, if any, or whether and what the technique was, whether it was done voluntarily or what they did. Because I think we might have to think about the same sort of thing.
Mr. President, I have a group working on that because we just have to tighten up on security throughout the Defense Department. This group of which Arthur is a member, working on a report made there personally about her.
And I thought all the experience might be
very relevant. Specifically, I've asked them to go back and get out the procedures and the rules and the experience. And exactly.
We were not in a state of war in Korea. We relied upon self-imposed voluntary censorship instead of request to the government.
Well, we may have to send in some sort of request out to every newspaper in the country, and let's say, and Secretary McNamara is, of course, going to give us a report on that.
Mr. President, that voluntary censorship code has been brought up to date and is being considered by this group to appear and brought together.
Do we intend to extend our stop and search program to aircraft? Could nuclear weapons be sent to Cuba by air?
I don't think we ought to do it on the aircraft just yet, because if we get on Berlin, we may have to rely on aircraft, and I don't think we ought to initiate that.
What answer do you give to the president?
The question on that and the future shipment of Cuban petroleum oil products, these are matters on which it would not be wise to.
What sort of progress have we made with Dakar? What are we doing about that? About the
We will have a plan and a partly an execution by the latter part of this afternoon. I'm waiting to see the documents as soon as I go back.
We're getting all.
Excision 1, less than 1 second excised. Excision 2, 2 seconds excised.
I believe myself as president, we ought to ask the Defense Department to review intensively this question of possible nuclear warheads by air and all the alternative methods that we might.
We have, Mac, and we'd ask Admiral Benson to lay out plans for it. I would propose that we answer that question by saying that we're prepared to quarantine movement of weapons by whatever means. Period.
I once again, you can refer to the words of the President's speech.
The speech doesn't quite say that.
Send, if needed, flights of cargo and carriers.
But there's no intention of air at the present time.
No, and it says
all
if
needed. Speech is better. So related but more limited question concerning what we do.
Well, let me just answer this. Seems to me what we're going to first try to do is see if we can do it. The only place they could come by air, as I understand.
Excision 3, 2 seconds excised.
Correct.
No, sir, they can fly direct.
They can fly
non-Soviet
direct.
Union?
Yes. They have refueling capabilities, particularly if they were to use a bomber. But even in the Tu-114, they could probably fly direct.
Without all the flight privileges?
Oh, probably. Depending on how they refuel and so on. The light load, it appears that they can't. Therefore, what I've instructed is that we will be informed of any airplane that appears to be moving from the Soviet Union to Cuba. And we'll have to watch this carefully and decide what to do at that time. Admiral Dennison, in the meantime, will be prepared with plans to put into effect should he be ordered to do so.
It becomes the more important to be vague on this.
Excision 4, 25 seconds excised.
States under the Rio Pact and otherwise. But this
committee should stop and visit and search and play this thing straight. Actually, we have pretty good information as to which ships are carrying the offensive type of equipment off Soviet bloc.
But I think it's important to stop all shipping because the traditions are as law under this, so that it has to be effective. And to make it effective, you stop all ships.
The specific instructions were given Admiral Anderson, Admiral Dennison, our ships, including submarines, Soviet and non-Soviet, will be intercepted.
All right. Now, let me just go back once more to this, because I don't want to be this thing, you know, about any action, direct action. Invasion, I think we've got to agree about what our status is, Ray. Invasion, no orders of that have been given, and I've only said we should pay for eventuality. Right? The question of air action, I think we'll stick just with
Are the characteristics? We didn't have the characteristics.